great joy that I stand here before you today, reading from Master's commentary on the Bhagavad Gita. Krishna speaking, the Blessed Lord said, O Arjuna, hear thou more of my supreme utterance, for thy highest good, and I will speak further to thee who listens in joy. Neither the multitude of angels nor the great sages honor my uncreated nature, or know my uncreated nature, for even the devas and rishis are created and hence have an origin in me. But whoever realizes me to be the unborn and beginningless, as well as the sovereign Lord of creation, that man has conquered delusion and attained the sinless state even while wearing a mortal body. These are tremendous words because entailed in them are the promise of what all true religions and all saints and all realized masters have brought to us. And that is that we may attain a state of illumination and realization even while in the body. Master's commentary begins, Stanza 2 does not mean that liberated angels and rishis do not understand the self-evolved nature of deity. For stanza 3 expressly states that even a mortal may become a jiva mukta, freed while living. By that very realization, God is both beyond creation, sat, and in creation, tat. So we have here a universal message. One is that it's not relegated to any particular class of people, that any individual and all individuals have the inborn capacity. Now, why don't we see more of those who are in this highest state of consciousness? And it is because we are born, generally speaking, in a delusive state. That is to say, we are disconnected, separated from the divine consciousness from which we have sprung. This veil of ignorance in yoga is called Maya. In the Christian Bible, it is the devil. And the devil is the one who puts a veil of separation between your mind and the divine aspect that has evolved all creation from it. There is actually no contradiction between the idea of evolution and divine creation. For we see all around us where the world changes. And as a result of those changes, sometimes we see improvements and sometimes we see devolvement. Man is born with free will. And so we can make choices that either help us in our evolution or they take us into further states of devolution. Evolution takes us into a pure state of mind and consciousness. Devolution takes us further into body consciousness, and where we get relegated into thinking that we are just this human body and nothing more than that. We have this tremendous inborn capacity for realization. It is in every cell of your being. And if you would but make the effort and begin to attune your mind to that divine consciousness from this moment forward, you would make evolutionary changes that would begin to transform the body, the mind, and the spirit into a tremendous being of light and realization. These are tremendous promises and tremendous words, but I can tell you from my own experience that they are true. As I sat meditating before we began our service this morning, the life energy was in the body. I'd been active, getting prepared for today. And so the focus had been flowing out through the senses and through the body and making this body operate and do what I wanted to do. When I sat down, the life energy reversed that flow. It came up through the nerves that before had been operating through the efferent and the afferent nerves of the body and into the spine. And then it flowed up through the spine into the highest regions of the brain. The very top of your brain, there are very fine brain materials there that when they are awakened and when the divine energy flows to there, they become activated. You may have seen in symbolic representations of the Buddha that there are three concentric rings going above his head and then it points upwards from there. And these three different rings represent the physical body, the astral body, and the causal body. And then it points upward from there because it is representative of this complete release of consciousness, so that as your life force flows up into this highest center of the brain, you feel very distinctly and concretely this movement of energy coming up out of the top of the head through these three rings and then going beyond. And if you still your mind very completely, then you go beyond the three levels of consciousness, so the physical, the astral, and the causal. Now, the physical, of course, is this physical body. It's the thing that we're most familiar with and we have with us most of the time. The astral body is that electrical body, is the fine electricities that run all through your being and all around you. It creates the auric field that surrounds you. The causal is the idea body. And in the idea body, you are in the realm of ideas that are the causative nature of all creation. But beyond that is spirit, pure, unalloyed spirit that has no form, that has no beginning, and no end. And this is the result of our spiritual practice, is to be able to enter into that highest state where we go beyond all three limiting states of consciousness. Now, you know you're in your physical body when you're operating, when you wake up in the morning and the alarm goes off and you're rolling out of bed and perhaps you feel rested and perhaps you don't. Perhaps you have sore muscles and then you start thinking about your day and what you're going to have to do. You are in the physical realm. And that is, truthfully, where most people live their lives. There are those who experience an upliftment at times. They feel a finer energy running through their system. It's a sense of usually of upliftment. It conveys knowledge through other than the linear, sequential kind of mind, through intuitive understanding. There's a brightness, there's a brilliance about this realm of existence. And so you are open more intuitively. You feel more life energy because you're in touch with the source of life energy flowing through this pranic or this astral body. When you're in a very deep state of concentration, you are in the causal plane. There are those who can sit and focus their minds very intently. If you look at somebody who's engaged in a chess match, for instance, and they're thinking four or five, six, seven moves ahead of themselves and they're working it all out, they're not very aware of their physical body most times. They're not that aware of their energy body. They're not working through it. They are lifted up into that causal realm. That, multiplied by many, many times, is the capacity of the causal realm. And as I say, that is the creative agent for everything that is. Everything comes from that causal realm. But beyond the causal realm is the pure spiritual realm. If you've had that experience of sitting in meditation, or perhaps it's just happened spontaneously sometime in your life, and suddenly you feel lifted up out of all of your bodies and you are taken to a timeless spirit where there is no beginning, there's no end, there's no form, there's no thought. There's just a pure state of being. It is absolute peace. It is absolute joy. It is absolute everything in the positive sense, but it has no negatives to it. You don't feel bound by anything. You feel a limitless sense of yourself. And when you have entered into this state, you have gone into the state of what Master calls here Sat, S-A-T. That is what Jesus called Heavenly Father. It is beyond creation. It is beyond all expression. It is pure, and it is never changed or altered by physical, astral, or causal realities. this is our true home. This is our true source. And if we would but know it, we would make a beeline for it, because it would answer all of our heart's yearnings and all the things that we want for ourselves and for this world. It's really a tremendous thing. And yet we can't totally comprehend it or understand it until we have some powerful experience with it, because it goes beyond all other limiting experiences. And so this is something that is built right into our system. And we are given the tools here in order to begin to enter in to that highest state of consciousness. Now, if we had tremendous powers of concentration, we could do it in a moment. But most of us are made up of mixed nature. And so we go into a back and forth kind of activity in terms of our spiritual pursuit until we have purified the mind to the point where we can maintain that highest state of consciousness even while we are active in this body and doing other things. This is the full state, and this is when we realize that God is both beyond creation and has actively manifested as this creation. Perhaps you can see what a tremendous thing this is. And it is a truth that gets so profoundly awakened inside of you that it removes all doubt. It's not just a mental experiment. It's not just something that you philosophically decide to believe in. It is something that happens that so powerfully changes your life that it changes you for always. And you become a new being. You become an awakened one. That is what the Buddha means. That is what the Christed one means. It is the same as using different language. It comes from different parts of the world, but it's describing the exact same experience. It's a universal experience. If you go anywhere in the world and you see a child crying because they're in pain or they have some difficulty, whether that child is of Muslim tradition and background or Christian in North America, or whether it's African or whether it's Asian, whatever it's nationality, whatever its background, that is a universal language. You can look at that child, they're crying, you know that they're in a state of distress. You don't need an interpreter. You don't need a cultural expert in order to understand it. You know it. If a mother has a child and has lost that child has died and they are in a state of grief, that experience is universal. Wherever you would go around this world, and you could recognize it, have sympathy and compassion for it, no matter where that person has come from. Even to a greater degree, spiritual realization and spiritual experience is that universal, and I would say even more. It is the essential nature of all mankind, and there is no one born of any culture or any religion or anything else that would arbitrarily bar them from having this experience. And when you read the writings and the sayings of the great saints and the great sages from all around the world, wherever they come from, whatever their background, you will recognize a universal theme. You will recognize there the God experience that they've had, whether they call it God, whether they call it Allah, whether they call it Nirvana. It doesn't make any difference whether that's personal or impersonal. When you read it, you recognize it. You know it. You feel it. And through that, this universal experience comes about throughout this world. Now, can you imagine a world where everyone is existing according to this wonderful insight, in tune with that higher consciousness, or at least aspiring for that higher consciousness? Can you imagine how that would affect this world if that spread like a contagion all around this globe and individuals everywhere began to really aspire for the highest light within them, the highest light that they know in that particular moment, and that they treat their neighbors as themselves they would themselves want to be treated, that they would serve one another, that their honesty and truthfulness would be something that would be all emblazoned across their foreheads, and that they would always abide by that, that there would be a childlike simplicity of the soul, that calculating mind that looks to get the angle, looks to get the leverage, looks to get whatever it can at whatever expense it causes somebody else, that mind is gone, and that there is a childlike simplicity to that individual, an openness. Now, this may seem like a dream to some, but I see it as a reality. I see it as a coming reality, and that we can be on the vanguard of that reality as we dedicate ourselves to our own spiritual pursuit and path. Back to Master's commentary here. These stanzas signify, however, the full emergence in the divine transcendence is not attainable by any created being, he whose origin cannot be originless. God's essential nature is spirit, not form, infinity, not finiteness. Now, in the Christian Bible, it says, no man has seen God, and it's referring to the same principle. As long as you identify with your nature as a human being, someone who is born, has a life, and then has a death, you cannot know this infinite nature. By definition, you are encumbered and surrounded by that consciousness that you are a limited being, and therefore you could not be unlimited. So no man, no individual who is encumbered with human consciousness can see God. The real key here is that we can transcend human consciousness. We can go beyond it. Disembodiment, the state of unimaginable freedom achieved by the devotee after he is dissolved by wisdom, his three imprisoning vehicles, the physical, the astral, and causal, is necessary before the soul of man can rejoin spirit per se. Stanza 2 affirms the metaphysical truth that all emancipated beings who accept re-embodiment at God's command are required to work in harmony with the cosmic mother or lawful nature to whom the Lord has given full power over the phenomenal worlds. Now, this is something that Mother talked about. Mother Hamilton, my guru, was a completely liberated being. And as she worked in this world, because there is a time when she was lifted up in consciousness and she was looking down on this world from that high state of consciousness, she was fully released at that point. And as a result, she had complete freedom. She could go where she wanted, do what she wanted to do at that time. But she looked down on this world and she saw the suffering, she saw the difficulties, and her heart went out in compassion for this world. And there's no question in her mind that she wanted to return back into physical embodiment in order to do what she could to help to release this body from the kind of bondage and suffering that it finds itself in. When she started to come back down into a worldly state of consciousness, because at that time she's existing mostly in the spiritual state. And those who were around her at the time described that her husband would take her to the ocean and she would sit there and look out on the ocean, but she was virtually vacant from their standpoint because she was lifted up into that divine consciousness. She couldn't relate from a human standpoint. And so in order to relate in that way, she had to work in order to get down. If you can imagine an unimaginable, blissful, free state, and then you have to, in order to operate in this world, re-inhabit this body that would feel like a very heavy, slow, lead overcoat, it would really be quite a trial. It wouldn't be something that you would be drawn to or attracted to. Because the divine freedom that you're feeling is so perfect and so pure. And existing in the body requires that you take on some of the laws of nature. And so sometimes she said that she would go to a funny movie. At that time, Danny Kaye was a popular actor. And she would go to a Danny Kaye movie. She would do what she could to try to bring her consciousness back down into human consciousness. And it took her quite a while. But then she was able to operate as anybody else is able to operate. The only difference is that at a moment's wish, she could liberate herself. She could release herself from the body. But she chose to take on the body and work through the body in order to help those who were drawn to her teachings in order to lift this world up and to give it this level of realization. So to a certain extent, even such exalted beings have to place themselves nominally under nature's cosmic delusion and thus forego full realization of spirit, immutable, unborn, and unmanifested. In other words, they take on a bit of ignorance, but they do it voluntarily. They're not involuntarily imprisoned in it. They are obliged to accept Maya, or delusion, as the only means by which their bodies assume visibility at all. The beam of light from a motion picture projector produces no images on the screen unless it passes through the shadow forms on film. Similarly, the soul reality has no form without the presence of the variegated vibratory film of Maya. The principle of duality that divides the indivisible through the cosmic vibration projects forms on the screen of time and space. Manifestation of any form testifies to the operation of nature's Mayic cosmic vibration and thus pertains to creation, not to the uncreated vibrationalists. So we exist in both realms, really. You do, even in this moment, whether you are conscious of it or not. You exist in that vibrationless, beginningless, endless extent of spirit. If you could, in a moment, just even momentarily, release yourself from the limitations of this body, of the astral body, of the causal body, allow yourself to merge into the infinite consciousness of your divine being. And then experience the presence. Experience the freedom. Experience the limitless nature. And allow yourself to merge into that universal infinite being. It is waiting for you. And it is calling to you. Anandi Moyima once made the statement that you could not think of me if I did not think of you first. And this is God speaking to us. You could not think of me if I did not think of you first. The fact that you have an aspiration, that you are a seeker, that you are an aspirant, that you are a devotee, that you are a lover of God, that you are on your way towards a high estate of realization. That means that grace is already active inside of you. That beautiful story that Jesus taught of the prodigal son who takes his inheritance from his father and he goes out and he wastes it on ruinous living. And finally he brings himself into such a degraded state that he thinks it'd be better to be a servant in my father's house. They were treated better than I am now. They ate better. So he started to make the long journey back to his father's home. One day, the father is looking out in a great distance. He saw the son making his way towards him. The father ran out to the son, embraced him, held him in his arms. My son, who I thought was dead, he lives. This is the story of the divine consciousness, the heavenly Father that is within you. And once you turn yourself towards the heavenly kingdom within yourself, that divine consciousness, that heavenly Father, divine Mother, rushes out to meet you In fact, you probably wouldn't even have started on it unless the divine consciousness were calling to you from the very beginning. It's a wonderful romance. It's a wonderful love affair between the soul and the infinite. There is the story of Rama, and Rama is a story from the Ramayana in India. And he is with Sita, his beloved wife. And Sita is kidnapped and taken down south to Sri Lanka by the evil Ravana. This represents the soul. So Sita represents the soul. Rama represents Christ consciousness, Kutastha Chaitanya. And so Rama goes in pursuit of Sita in order to rescue her, to bring her back north again. Now, north in your body is up at the highest portion of the spine and the brain. South is down to the base of the spine. And so when you're taken down into the lower chakras and you become relegated to those lower chakras, unaware of the higher chakras, the soul comes down to rescue, to get you, and to start bringing you and fighting the long battle in order to rise back up the spine and gain your complete emancipation once again. This story is told again and again throughout the world in various guises with different names and different languages, but it all tells the same story. It's your story. It's everybody's story. And isn't that a marvelous thing? A marvelous thing. This universal teaching, this universal truth, must come to the point where it spreads over this world. And where all those individuals today who are so dedicated only towards advancing themselves in the world, and we've seen so many of the results of people living selfishly, without due consideration, without aspiring for the highest light within them. And there are many, many casualties, and there are many difficulties that result because of this. But we can begin to change the world by changing ourselves. And when we change ourselves, masters say, change yourself and you will change thousands. Because the ripple effect that goes out from you keeps going out and out. You touch one person, that person goes out and touches two persons. And so on it goes, out and out and out. When you change your life, you change this world. Jesus said, and if I be lifted up, shall lift up all mankind with me. Now, that was 2,000 years ago, and when we look around the world today, we don't think that all this world has been lifted up. But that divine consciousness that he was in touch with, that lifted him up, is still in operation in this world. And he still acts as an inspiration and a model for what all mankind can achieve. Now, God thinks in long terms, so, you know, a day in his terms isn't always a day in ours. And things don't always happen in the way that we'd like it to, and as soon as we'd like it to. We've got to be sturdy warriors on the path. And if we are, and if we dedicate ourselves to that, we will see the changes. We will see the changes. I'd like to close with a poem here by Kabir. In our guru lineage, Lara Mahasya, many of his disciples thought that he was a reincarnation of Kabir. Kabir writes, "Open your eyes of love and see him who pervades this world. Consider it well and know that this is your own country. When you meet the true Guru, he will awaken your heart. He will tell you the secret of love and detachment. And then you will know indeed that he transcends this universe. This world is a city of truth. Its maze of paths enchants the heart. We can reach the goal without crossing the road, which is the sport unending. Where the ring of manifold joys ever dances about him, There is the sport of eternal bliss. When we know this, then all our perceiving and renouncing are over. Thenceforth, the heart of having shall never scorch us more. He is the ultimate rest, unbounded. He has spread his form of love throughout all the world. From the ray, which is truth, streams of forms are perpetually springing, and he pervades these forms. All the gardens and the groves and the bowers are abounding with blossom, and the air breaks forth in ripples of joy. There the swan plays a wonderful game. There the unstruck music eddies around the Infinite One. There, in the midst, the throne of the unheld is shining, whereon the great being sits. Millions of suns are shamed by the radiance of a single hair of his body. On the harp of the road, what true melodies are being sounded, and its notes pierce the heart. There the eternal fountain is playing its endless life streams of birth and death. They call him emptiness, who is the truth of truths, in whom all truths are stored. There within him creation goes forward, which is beyond all philosophy, for philosophy cannot attain him. There is an endless world, O my brother, and there is the nameless being of whom naught can be said. Only he knows it who has reached that region. It is other than all that is heard and said. No form, no body, no length, no breadth is seen there. How can I tell you that which it is? He comes to the path of the infinite on whom the grace of the Lord descends. He is freed from births and deaths who attains to him. Kabir says, it cannot be told by the words of the mouth. It cannot be written on paper. It is like a dumb person who tastes a sweet thing. How shall it be explained? It cannot be explained, but it can be inferred. And it can be pointed out. And we can begin with the mind, because the mind is what we have. And we begin by learning to focus the mind on the highest light that we know, to attaining the truth that transcends our reason and our intellect and brings us into that highest infinitude of which no mind can reach, but the human soul can attain it eternally. You pray with me. Oh, Heavenly Father. Divine Mother, I feel the wonder and the beauty of thy glorious presence in every part of my being. My heart is bursting with my love for thee. I kneel in adoration at thy feet and surrender myself to thee. I feel the power of thy perfection surging in every cell of my body. My mind and my intelligence are radiant with thy healing light. My soul is filled with the ecstasy and bliss of my communion with thee. I and my Father are one. Blessed Spirit, I am he. Peace. Bliss. Amen.